This is Sell Without Selling, Episode 8.
Hey, this is Krista Crotty, President and CEO of Velocity Business Strategists. If you want to learn how to create a six-figure and seven-figure business from the Science of Success strategist that I've worked closely with over the past couple of years, and significantly increase your revenue and learn how to successfully build professional relationships, you should be listening to the Sell Without Selling podcast with my good friend, Stacey Oberg.
If you're ready to get out of your own way to follow the seven-figure science of success, then welcome to Sell Without Selling. Tune in with renowned international speaker Stacey O'Byrne as she shows you how mastering relationships, achieving the proper mindset, and attaining the necessary motivation will catapult you away from failure and onto your journey to greatness. And now, here is your host, Stacey O'Byrne.
Hi, I'm Stacey O'Byrne, and I get to hang out with successful entrepreneurs, business owners, sales professionals, and some of the top business influencers and thought leaders in the world. You see, I believe that it's important to learn the art and science of how to sell without selling, and that is the only way to achieve six and seven figure success. So, if you want to be a success magnet, attract quality people in your network, and significantly increase your sales and ultimately your success, then you're in the right place, because this is the Sell Without Selling podcast. Hey, welcome back to another episode of Sell Without Selling. I'm your host, Stacey O'Byrne, and today I'm speaking with a really good friend of mine, Krista Crotty. Krista is the founder and CEO of Velocity Business Strategist. She leads business owners and entrepreneurs to success and beyond. As a business strategist, she helps businesses during the idea phase, startup phase, and growth phases. Nowadays, she is focusing on how businesses can evolve and change to come out thriving during this social distancing time. With a background in mechanical engineering and production and operations management, she is a natural problem solver and understands firsthand the corporate business world and the evolution phases of an entrepreneur. As a trainer and master practitioner of neurolinguistics programming, she further helps clients with mindset and seeing the opportunities rather than focusing on the obstacles. With successes and failures in both traditional business and network marketing and direct sales, exposed her strengths and weaknesses and all the learnings that came with them. These also helped her hone the skills to help others, from engineering to funeral sales to wine. She loves helping business owners and entrepreneurs find their passion and turn it into profits. I believe that learning the art and science of how to sell without selling is the only way to achieve high six-figure and seven-figure success. I'm so excited for you to hear today's conversation with Krista. She has a lot of golden nuggets to share. This is going to be an awesome conversation, and I'm excited to get into it. And really quick, if you're a business owner, entrepreneur, or sales professional, and you haven't hit the level of success that you have wanted or needed, or if you are stuck in needing a pivot in your business, in your success, in your life, or you just want more, and you understand the importance of having a coach to help identify the blind spots, increase accountability, and help with success strategies to take you, your business, your life, your income, and your success to the next level. If this sounds like something for you, then head over to pivotpointadvantage.com/iwantsuccess. That's pivotpointadvantage.com/iwantsuccess. There's a quick application there that will lead to a phone call with me to see if we're a great fit for each other. Okay, enough of that. Krista, thanks for coming on today. Welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you, Stacey, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
So, you are an engineer.
Yes.
How does one go from engineering to what you do today?
When one realizes that I wanted to be in more control of what I was doing, I wanted to, as you've said, I've heard people say, I want to build the life that I want versus build a business for someone else. I worked in corporate engineering for almost 10 years. And one of the best compliments I was ever paid was at a conference after I left corporate, went into consulting for myself, and a colleague of mine that we had spoken at several conferences together came up to me after he had heard my introduction. We actually happened to be in the same pod of three speakers. Mm-hmm. He came up to me afterwards and he's like, I never knew you worked at IBM. I would have never pictured you as an IBMer. And I was like, you know what? That's actually a compliment. Thank you. So I've never fit the corporate mold. I've never really fit into that box. Mm-hmm. And once I realized that, it's what moved me from the corporate world into what I do now.
Yeah. So how did you leave? You just woke up one day and said, I'm done?
So I was, as I said, I worked for IBM, mm-hmm. and I had started in San Jose. I had moved to upstate New York, and I was working in the corporate procurement area, and IBM had decided to sell their PC division. So they sold it to Lenovo, mm-hmm. and we were given the criteria of who stays and who goes to Lenovo. And the criteria was that I was going to Lenovo. So I transitioned, worked for Lenovo for 2 weeks, and went into consulting with an engineering design company once that happened.
Mm-hmm. So corporate America to funeral sales and wine. That's a jump. Or is it?
It is when you look at it from that perspective. When you look at it from a perspective of sales, if you will, one of the last things I did when I was in corporate was I worked on multimillion-dollar negotiation contracts for bringing products into IBM, bringing, you know, the pieces and parts and that into our servers. And mm-hmm. so when you take that and you're used to, you know, you understand the sales process, it's easy to move into selling anything, really. Another mentor of mine one time is like, sales is sales. Bagels to BMWs, sales is sales. If you can understand who you're selling to, how they buy, it's easy.
Hmm. You've been in corporate America. You've been in direct sales. Now you're starting your business, right? Tell me how you came up with the name Velocity Business Strategists.
So one of the things that I love is motorsports. I love cars. I love speed. I love motorcycles. My first car, which I still have, is a 66 Mustang. When I was in high school, it had a 302 bored out to a 307, fully blueprinted, balanced motor in it. So I was the girl with a fast car. And from that developed a love of engineering, which is the nuts and bolts and that. And when I was 18 in high school, I went to driving school and racing school as opposed to going to the beach with my friends for spring break. And it just grew from there. Grew up around cars. My mom and dad were both into cars. My aunt and uncle are both into cars. So it was something that I grew up with that passion in my gut. And when I had some things happen about this time last year, and I was like, you know what? I need to rebrand myself. I need to get back to what I truly enjoy and what I love. And that's where Velocity Business Strategist came from.
So I know nothing about race car driving. I mean, mm-hmm. let's be real. I drive on the freeways in Southern California. So
navigating. Which means you're lucky if you hit 35.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Unless, of course, it's like 1 a.m, then it's a different story.
Right.
Navigating the freeways, I can only imagine, is a lot like navigating a racetrack, right?
Similar, yeah.
So are there parallel strategies? Are there parallel visions when you're racing mm-hmm. and when you're starting a business?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there is the prep work. Most of the work that you do when you're getting a car ready to go to the racetrack, most of the work is done before you ever even leave home. And for many entrepreneurs, when they're starting a business, they're working another job. So they fit that in where they can. Hmm. And so much of the success and that you see in any form of motorsports, motorcycles, race cars, I mean, you can even use horse racing. So much is done behind the scenes by the individual, by the team, by the support groups, by the people around that person that you see in the driver's seat, so to speak, there's so much that happens behind the scenes that's never noticed, that nobody ever knows about, that is, in my perspective, totally the same as what happens in business, right? We all see these ultra successful people, you know, like the iceberg, right? That you see those success posters of, right? You see the tip of the iceberg. You don't see all the work that goes in behind the scenes, the late nights, the early mornings, the, you know, missed this, missed that, everything that goes into it to make it happen is very much like what we see in the business world.
And anticipation, I would venture to guess.
Huge anticipation because, and those split second decisions.
Yeah. Because I can only imagine that, you know, when you're racing on a track, you have to anticipate the moves several moves ahead and of everyone else as well. We kind of have to do that in business too.
Right. And you have to be extremely aware of your surroundings, extremely aware of, you know, in business, you're aware of what your customers are looking at, what your customers are feeling, how they're thinking about what they're doing. And when you're driving a race car, it's the same thing driving that car. You have all these different sensory spots that you are getting feedback from, and you need to be able to take all of them in and make those decisions and understand that one little adjustment is going to make things shift. If you go in, when you adjust a race car, if you go in and you change the suspension, you change the fuel, you change the tire pressures, you change five or six different things, and all of a sudden something's not right. If you do the same thing in your business, you change your marketing strategy, you change your sales strategy, you change how you talk to your customers, you change your avatar of who you're actually trying to sell to. If you change all of those things at once, what worked, what didn't? So there's a lot of parallels that can be drawn between business and, I'll use the broader term, motorsports.
So being a woman in motorsports, how does that play in it?
It's one of the best feelings when I take my helmet off and somebody comes up to me and says, "Hey, son, great job." And I'm like, "Thanks, Dad." And they go, you know, the cool thing is, yes, it probably took me a little longer to prove myself, just like being, I'm a woman engineer, right? Same thing as a woman in business, same thing as, you know, those that are a minority, whatever your minority is, right? It's the same thing is once you've proven yourself, it's easy. It's proving yourself that's the difficult part. And one of the great things about racing is, sure, they see you around the track and this and that. Once you're in the car and you're on the grid and you're suited up and all you can see is this out of the, you know, front of the helmet, and you go out and you do your absolute best and you get off the track and somebody comes up to you and says, "That was amazing. How did you do it?" It doesn't matter if you're male, you're female, that eventually goes away. That's the really cool thing about when I race is that there's kind of that little bit of anonymity when you're in the car. Until people get to know you. And then people are like, "Oh, that's the car with this color numbers, or that's this type of car with this number." And they know you and they start rooting for you as that quote unquote underdog, right? You know, as that person who is out to show the world, it doesn't matter where you came from. If you have the drive and you have the passion, and the same goes for business too. You surround yourself with like-minded people. You surround yourself with people that have that passion and support you. And it makes every minute that you're those late nights, those early mornings, it makes every minute of that time worth it.
What skill sets, what tools, what strategies did you learn out on the course, out racing, that you have made applicable within your success in building business?
A big one is never underestimate your opponent, both from being that opponent and being that person challenging Goliath, if you will. Trusting your instincts is a big one. You know, that gut feeling that you get of, is this going to work? Am I doing the right thing? And you know what? Your gut, that gut check is huge. And I made an analogy the other day. Somebody's like, I'm not really sure what to do. I'm like, it's like hitting a skid in a car, right? Initially, you're like, oh my goodness, this is happening. And then all of a sudden it's like, woohoo, what a ride. That was great. Let's do it again, you know?
Right.
So, you know, those are a couple of the big things that have happened. And then truly making sure that you're surrounded by, you know, like-minded people that are going to support you and love you and take care of you regardless of what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the coolest things about the racetrack, and it's funny because people are like, you kind of drive like an old lady on the road, you know, depending on where I'm at. I was like, well, there's a difference between driving on the road and driving at the racetrack, because I don't know really anybody else's skill set on the road. When I'm at the track, I know someone has my back. I know there's someone there to, if something goes completely sideways and there is an accident, I know there's someone less than 2 minutes away, usually 30 seconds to a minute away.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, knowing that you have kind of that safety net in racing, you can build the same thing in a business environment, in that, you know, I'm going to take this leap and know that those people that are in your personal life, in your business life, in your networking circles are there to either catch you or help you continue building the plane on the way down.
So I'm curious, with all this experience that you have from racing to engineering to corporate to being an independent contractor and a business owner, what does success mean to you?
For me, it's a lot of, you know, I work hard to play harder.
Okay.
You know, and I got asked a long time ago, they're like, you know, what do you do for fun?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I love to do is go to the racetrack, and allowing myself to completely unplug and disconnect and really just literally drive until I'm exhausted. It's allowing me to build the life that I want versus the life that someone else wanted for me.
Wow. Okay. So what do you mean drive till you're exhausted? What does that mean?
Well, it's a couple of different levels. When you're at the racetrack, it's giving it 100%.
Mm-hmm.
When you're out there, to the point where I get out of the car and I've been at the point where I literally collapse because I've given it everything I can possibly give it.
Mm-hmm.
And the same goes for business. You know, I mean, you've mentioned this, you know, when we've talked in the past that, you know, you give 100% to where when my head hits the pillow at night, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I get my however many hours of sleep I need for that night. And for me, it varies anywhere from, you know, 4 to 8, depending on, you know, the time of year, the time of day, what I'm actually doing, and getting up the next morning and getting at it again.
Mm-hmm. So I think what you're referring to is the conversation we had where when I was in the Army, mm-hmm. I learned very, very quickly that the average person caps out at 40%. Just when they think they've given it their all, mm-hmm. they give up, they stop. And reality is they're just getting started.
They're at that tipping point. They're at that mm-hmm. launch point of, okay, it's like the pace lap, right? Everybody's mm-hmm. really good on the pace lap. Or when there's been a yellow flag in racing and they're like, okay, I've got everything together. I've got this. And then, oh no, what now?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you do that buildup, you get that wound up and you're ready to go. And then you're like, okay, now it's easy. Now you get a slight bit of a challenge and yeah, I'm done.
So it's not about working 20 hours in a day. It's about productively working when you're scheduled to work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I literally calendar everything. My husband's funny because he's like, really, you have this on the calendar? I'm like, honey, if it's not on the calendar, it's not getting done. You should know that by now. You know, I mean, I have, you know, meal times on my calendar. I have, you know, Facebook times on my calendar. I have, you know, my personal development and my growth on my calendar. I have my me time on my calendar. That was a big one this week with two of the accountability groups that I utilize. And it was, you know what, I need to schedule my meditation and my gratitude journal and my tools that I'm using, and be specific. Don't just put me time. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. the more specificity that I'm able to put in my calendar, the easier my day goes, mm-hmm. you know, and as many, many people, including you, have told me, you know, success is planned.
Yeah.
You don't just get it because you wing it. It's planned. Mm-hmm. And the more you can plan and the more you can take control of that, and then on the flip side, be flexible, it makes it that much easier. And for me, I no longer burn myself out because I'm like, oh, I didn't get this done. Oh, I didn't get this done. It's, you know what? This is what's on the schedule. I'm going to focus for this 30 or 60 minutes or whatever I have blocked for that. And if it takes me less time, great. I can choose to move my schedule or spend that time with my daughter and my husband or this or that. It gives me the flexibility of saying, yes, I'm done. And do I want to keep working or do I want to take a break and reward myself?
I'm curious because we've known each other for a decent amount of time. What's something that people misunderstand about you?
My bluntness, which is probably one of the reasons I'm no longer in corporate too, is so that filter that mm-hmm. most people have, it's not that I don't have one. I don't even have a spot to put one. You know, I speak my mind and I speak from my heart. And I think that a lot of times I get misunderstood because I have the best intentions. I'm saying it. I'm coming from a place that I truly believe in and I'm extremely passionate. And it comes across sometimes very curt.
Yeah, I think you and I share that in common. I lovingly call it the NFS. I suffer from NFS and people are like, oh my gosh, what is that? And I just look at them and go, it's no filter syndrome. I think it comes out my mouth before I ever realize I say it. And then I look around the room and go, uh-oh, that was my outside voice.
Yeah. I have a mug, a wine glass that says, I'm sorry, did I roll my eyes out loud? Because people at the racetrack, that's one of the things I love about the racetrack is pretty much like if you're going to be at the racetrack, there is no filter. There is no modesty. Mm-hmm. There is no, it is what it is. And you are completely raw and real. And you're literally, and I would say it's probably like being in the army. I personally have never been in the military, but you're literally putting your life in someone else's hands. And when you do that, there's a whole nother level of respect and understanding that you have with someone. Mm-hmm. Than you ever do in the corporate world.
Yeah. Yeah. Being in the Army really taught me that nothing's accomplished alone. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
Absolutely.
Living, success, happiness, eating, nothing is accomplished alone. And when I got out of the military, it allowed me to surround myself with like-minded people. Because as I elevated, they would elevate. As they elevated, I would elevate. And we all had each other's back. And for lack of a better description, I became successful. I started surrounding myself with armies of people. And I'm never alone. And it's a beautiful thing.
And the same thing happens at the racetrack. I mean, you up-level your game and guess what? The car next to you does the same thing and you mm-hmm. learn from each other. You know, there's several times that I went through a corner going, there's no way I could ever do this faster. And the next thing I know, I dropped a half a second a lap, which depending on the track is a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then you would have these people that you're literally wheel to wheel with each other. And you're like, I could do this all day long. Mm-hmm. I love it. And you challenged me. And you know what? If they can do it, so can I. And there's a lot of that happens, not just from the prep work and the stuff off the track, but on the track. You know, it's that sometimes you're the carrot, sometimes you're the stick, right? Yep. And, you know, I am really good at chasing that carrot at some times. And then there's other times where I need to be chased. Hmm. I get to be chased. And, you know, some of the coolest times I ever had on the track, I'll tell you right now, we're not for first place. One of the most fun times I ever had driving in a race was with against another gentleman. His name was Bill. And we were racing for ninth place.
Oh, wow.
Nobody would, you know, and we literally had one of the guys that was lap traffic keep up with us and videotape us because we were swapping spots 3 to 5 times a lap.
Oh, wow.
And granted, it was Watkins Glen. It was back in New York. And you know what? I got to the point where I was like, you know what? He can go that fast into the corner. So can I. Mm-hmm. And so I did. I didn't let up. I kept going. And then he was like, uh-oh, she's still there. Because it was, we were turning into the corner and he would have hit me. So he ended up going off road a little bit. And we had a great, great laugh about it. Had a phenomenal time at, there's always beer at the end of the day at the racetrack. Okay. So had a great talk about it at beer at the end of the day. And he goes, what happened on that last corner? And I was like, you know what? You're going for the championship. I'm not. So, you know what? I let you go. And he's like, you knew that? I was like, yeah. I'm like, I'm, you know, I could take ninth place and take those last points from you. Or I could say, you know what? We had a hell of a run. We had so much fun. We still to this day talk about it. And that was 15, 18 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know what? You're going for this trophy, if you will. I would love to help support you do that. And the same thing, you know, the same thing happens in the business world. Hmm. There's plenty to go around for everyone who's willing to be out there and be there with a grateful heart. And that's one of the things that, you know, I've really had open up for me in the last year.
Nice. Nice. So what has been your number one key to success?
Follow up.
Hmm. How so?
Following up with myself, checking in with myself, following up with customers and clients. You know, for me, it's never a no, I'm never going to buy from you. It's a no, I still have questions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, that's, you know, you mentioned my wine and my funeral sales. People are like, you sold funerals? Like, yeah. And it's all about what does the person actually want? Mm-hmm. And understanding where they're coming from, not what I feel like selling them.
Nice.
So for me, my success has been, you know, the fortune's in the follow-up. It's continuing to be there, come from a place of service, answer those questions, and give back to those that are in front of you.
So what's the best advice that you can give someone who hasn't achieved the success that they want yet?
Keep going. You know, and surround yourself with people that have done it. And people that have the mindset to do it, people that are successful in the ways that you want to be successful, mm-hmm. and surround yourself with like-minded people that are willing to listen, mm-hmm. you know, that are willing to have that, you know, that blunt conversation with you and say, you know what, start paying attention, mm-hmm. you know, start listening, stop saying, well, I already know that. I've already tried that. Mm-hmm. Because maybe the way that they look at something or maybe the way that they explain something will hit a little closer to home and help you.
So what do you mean by keep going? Because the person who has been doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, who isn't getting the results that they want, if they keep doing the over and over and over and over again, how are they going to get different results? So what do you mean by keep going?
So keep going, keep looking for different ways to do things. That's where when you surround yourself with like-minded people and you surround yourself with people that have, you know, achieved a level of success or a step or two ahead of you in wherever business they're at, learning from them, allowing yourself to make mistakes, allowing yourself to, quote, fail, if you will. You know, because one of the things that I've learned over the past year, and actually since we've known each other longer than that, is there's no failure. There's only feedback, mm-hmm. you know, and the same thing is true in racing. You know what? That adjustment didn't work. So let's try something different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I say keep going, keep looking for different ways and be open to different ways of doing things. You know, that was probably one of my other struggles at corporate was, well, we've always done it this way. I'm like, great. How's mm-hmm. that working for you so far? Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you need to shift, you need to change. And, you know, in racing, sometimes taking the corner in third gear versus fourth gear is better for you, mm-hmm. you know, and what works for one person may not work for you and you can still try it. Find out if it's going to work for you or not.
So you keep referencing, find someone. So I'm hearing coaching, mentoring, personal and professional development, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you mean by find someone?
Yeah. And sometimes it's finding the little person within you that's going to believe in yourself.
Okay.
You know, that was a big shift for me in the last couple of years, is believing that I could do it. And that mind shift of, you know, I haven't done it yet. And I'm, you know, mid-40s, let's go, you know, why haven't I gotten to where I want to be yet? And, you know, big one for me was believing in yourself.
Can you talk about how someone can stay motivated when things aren't going the way that they need them to, or how they had hoped? How can they ignite that motivation to dig in?
For me, it's a reward system. And it, you know, for everyone, it could be a little different. For me, it's allowing myself, or getting to that point where, you know, I'm motivated to go racing. And if there are certain things that are yet to be accomplished, then I don't get to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's having those, you know, you talk about searching for someone, having those people around you that will help cheer you on, that mm-hmm. will help keep you motivated, that, you know, they're, for me, the only person that can hold yourself truly accountable is you. Yet having to check in with someone else, having that coach or that person, that accountability partner, it's that, oh, really? I've got to tell my coach I didn't do my homework. Like, that's the last thing I want to be doing, you know? Or, you know, for me, it's my 6-year-old. Like, no, mommy's got to work again. No, mommy's going to get her work done so that I can spend that time with her. I can, you know, this morning we got up because she went to bed. She slept in her own bed all night last night. So this morning we got to walk and feed the horses. And so it's that, you know, accountability to yourself and the accountability of someone else to check in with is just kind of that mirror that, are you sure you're telling yourself the truth? Because as you have taught me, the person we lie to the most is ourselves. And keeping yourself in check and keeping, you know, keeping that mirror up makes a big difference.
So you and I have had multiple conversations, and you know that I believe that success and sales are pretty synonymous, right? Mm-hmm. In order to be successful, you have to learn how to sell without selling, right? And in order to be able to sell without selling, you have to possess a successful mindset.
Right.
So they're pretty synonymous. So talk to me about, what role do you think a person plays in their ability to close business and be successful at what it is they want to do? What role do they play in their success and their sales closing?
They play a huge role, in my opinion, in that. Because the person you need to work on the most in that scenario, when you are selling something, like when I worked and I sold funerals, I needed to be able to understand where that person was coming from. So for me, it's always been a mindset of, can you see through that person's eyes? Are you able to see what they're seeing and then speak to them in their language? Yes, we all speak English, and somebody from the South is going to, you know, speak completely differently than someone from the Northeast, right? So being able to talk to the person and understanding where you're coming from and talking to them in their portion of it, or in their language and their understanding, versus you pushing you on them, that's where a lot of growth. If you understand where you're coming from and be able to understand where they're coming from, then you can speak more to them as opposed to at them.
Tell me how you grow your success. How have you grown your businesses in the past and currently?
Much of my business is referral based. So it's building those relationships. It is coming from a place of service and, you know, allowing myself to fail and understanding when it's time to move on.
So networking.
Absolutely.
So what is networking to you?
To me, networking is building those relationships. Similar to sales, it's understanding what the other person is looking for and looking to provide a service or make a connection. You know, you've got someone who's struggling with their books and their taxes. Well, I know a couple of great CPAs, bookkeepers, et cetera. I'll happily make that connection. So to me, networking is not only, you know, looking for your own business, it's being that referral source and being that point of contact to help others find the tools that they're looking for.
Nice. So what's the best advice that you can give someone looking to increase their professional network within the next 12 months?
within the next 12 months. Mm-hmm. Continue what you're doing. If you're not out there virtually networking, start networking virtually. Because the cool thing about the virtual world right now is it's going to stay. It's mm-hmm. going to be here. Mm-hmm. It's another tool in your tool belt so that when we go back, and in these times at least, to go be able to go back and do it person to person, face to face, you'll be able to have actually options. Mm-hmm. And more options.
So social connection, professional Absolutely. Connection, whether it's offline or online, it's mm-hmm. about connecting and relationships. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's about relationships. It's about being raw, real, and vulnerable. Mm. You know, when I first went out on my own running my engineering consulting company, I was told in college, never talk about your racing. Just don't. It's not professional. It's not this. It's not that. And that never resonated with me. I was like, it's part of who I am. It's part mm-hmm. of, you know, it'd be like you never mentioning the Army, right? Mm-hmm. That's part of who you are. It's a part of, that's part of what got you to where you're at. Mm-hmm. And so when I was at IBM, I didn't really talk about it. When I went on my own, I started talking about it. And two of my first major clients came from the fact that we raced together. We didn't run the same class, but we knew each other from the racetrack. So he knew I was a real person. You know, another contact that I made, he loves old cars and motorcycles and, you know, anything out of the 50s and 60s. So we were able to talk. You talk about, I mentioned talking about different languages. Mm-hmm. I was able to talk about cars and motorsports and driving and all of that with him, which made business actually easier. Hmm. So it's bringing that passion for whatever it is you're passionate about into what you're doing.
Nice. So what is your top networking tip?
My top networking tip. Mm-hmm. It would go back to follow-up.
Okay.
You know, it would be being that connection, being that, you know what, I'm going to get in touch with you, or, hey, I have this connection with you. It's continuing that follow-up and continuing to use your tools to stay connected with people.
Mm-hmm. What's more important in the journey to success, in the ability to close sales, so to speak? Is it mindset or skill set, and why?
So I'm going to say both.
Okay, that's fair.
Because you need a certain level of skills and understanding of where you're at, and mm-hmm. you need the mindset of, I can do this, mm-hmm. you know, which could also fall under a skill set. So, you know, I would say it's a harmony depending on where you're at. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's skill, sometimes it's mindset, you know, the early bird gets the worm kind of thing. So mm-hmm. you can have the mindset of you're going to crush every sale, or you could have the mindset of, you know what, I'm going to come from a place of value and a place of service. Mm-hmm. And I know personally, when I come from the mindset of service and coming from the heart, I do better at my sales.
Nice.
So it's a harmony. I would say it's a harmony of both, and your harmony is going to be different than mine. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. my main need, and depending on the situation, depending on who I'm quote unquote selling to, I may need more skills. I may need more mindset.
What's the best advice that you could give someone who is either just starting out or hasn't achieved the level of sales and success that they've always wanted yet?
Ask more questions.
What does that mean?
So if you're not closing the amount of sales, you know, start tracking it and start finding out at what point do they say no. Mm-hmm. And when they say no, start asking more questions.
Okay.
You know, and understand, not everybody's going to be a perfect client for you. Not everybody's going to be the perfect sale. So I think it's, again, a harmony of asking more questions and understanding if you're in front of the right client. Mm-hmm. Do you have a good sense of who your ideal client or avatar is, and understanding how you best serve them?
Hmm. So what's your best sales tip that you could give to an entrepreneur, a business owner, a sales professional, and why?
Shut up and listen.
Ooh. How come?
So many salespeople sell from what they sell to themselves versus sell to their customer. Mm-hmm. And if you would literally shut up and listen and hear what they're saying and where that potential client, potential buyer is coming from, you'll close a lot more sales.
Nice.
Because you'll be able to talk to them in their model, in their language. And I, knowing what I know now, I understand when I did funerals and when I sold funerals, that's one of the reasons that I did as well as I did.
Okay.
Is that I listened more than I spoke. I actually had one of my managers go with me. He goes, "You hardly talked." I was like, "And I sold $25,000 worth of cemetery space and funerals."
Mm-hmm.
He goes, "Yeah, I know. How did you do that?" I'm like, "You were sitting there." He goes, "Yeah, you didn't say anything." I'm like, "Yeah, all I did was ask open-ended questions. I said, mm-hmm. so what do you see? What would you like?" And, you know, it was about an hour and a half of meeting with this couple. And I did what I did. I sat there and I listened.
Hmm. So what's the anatomy of a perfect salesperson?
There isn't one.
Okay.
You know, it's that, you know, understanding where you're at, understanding where your customer is at or your client is at, and fulfilling their, what they actually need versus what you want to sell.
Hmm. So what's the anatomy of the ideal successful entrepreneur and business owner and sales professional?
What do you want it to be? What does that individual want it to be? Because what I see as the ideal anatomy is going to be different than what you see.
Mm-hmm.
There is no one size fits all.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you want it to look like? What is your definition? And how do you want to go get it?
Nice. So how does a successful person balance confidence without being arrogant?
For me, it's coming from a place of service and coming from that place of heart. It's that ability to, again, speak to where that person is at, whoever you're talking to. It's building that rapport. It's understanding where they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And delivering what they, not so much what they want to hear, but how they want to hear it.
Okay. Okay. So how important is coaching to helping someone facilitate their successes?
For me, it's an absolute must. You know, it's one of those things. It's just like feeding yourself.
Hmm.
You know, it's similar to you eating a nutritious meal. It's similar to making sure that you're getting that exercise. It's that, for me, it's that brain fuel and that check. It's all about feeding what you want to grow and starving what you want to die.
Hmm.
You know, nice. it's that, you know, as I've heard you say, and I've heard others say, you know, every horse needs a jockey.
Mm-hmm.
Every
mm-hmm.
team has a trainer. And why would you deny your business that? You know, Tom Brady didn't get to where he is with the New England, you know, with New England. He had Belichick as mm-hmm. well as every offensive and defensive coordinator, et cetera. And mm-hmm. sometimes you need more than one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know when I was doing my motorsports, my auto racing, I had mindset, I had physical, and I had strategy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I had a mechanic that helped me with my car.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do it all myself. No person can build what, you know, to me would be a truly successful business without the help of others.
Agreed. Well, you know, I have 7 coaches,
mm-hmm.
so you're preaching to the choir.
I know, you know, but you look at, you know, one of my all time favorite analogies is Michael Schumacher, love mm-hmm. him or hate him, mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, love him or hate him, right? Mm-hmm. He didn't get to where he was being a one man show.
Nope.
Neither one of them did. They had the support staff. They had the coaches. They had not only mental, but physical.
Mm-hmm.
They had both. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you said, you have 7. I have a handful. I don't have that many. I'm working on it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you have different people to help you in different aspects of mm-hmm. whatever it is that you're working on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. So this is my favorite round that we're rolling into.
Okay.
You know, my listeners know that I have a belief that success leaves clues. Mm-hmm. Right. I also have a belief that if we can find excellence, if we can find success, and we can extract what they do, learn from what they do, and then apply to self, we can create what they create. Right. Mm-hmm. It's known as modeling.
Right.
So I like to ask a question that I refer to as the random round. So Okay. Welcome to the random round. This is one question that I present to our interviewee, and our listeners get to learn a piece of behavior from them so that if it resonates with them, they can apply to self, take on something new, mm-hmm. and learn to achieve the level of success that you've achieved. So how do you prefer to consume personal and professional development? Through books, blogs, podcasts, videos, trainings, and why? And how frequently do you personally and professionally develop yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
I like variety. Mm-hmm. I like to be able to, sometimes I want to touch, feel, and hold a book and read it. Sometimes I want to be interactive and be in a training. Sometimes I want to listen to it when I'm in the car and I'm driving somewhere. So for me, I mix it up. Was actually on an accountability call this morning, and we were talking about the book by Brian Tracy, Eat That Frog.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's like, oh, I have the Audible. Oh no, I need the book. I'm like, oh no, I need both.
Mm-hmm.
I literally will sit there, you know, I sat there the first time I read it, and I read it and I was like, okay, I'm not getting anything from this. So then I put it on and I listened to it and I was like, yeah, this isn't quite doing it either. So then I did the two together and I got it. I was like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's a combination, and sometimes it depends on the topic and it depends on who's offering the topic.
Okay.
You know, sometimes it's, you know, if it's kind of an accountability type thing, I can hear it. If it's, you know, learning a new skill, I need to practice it. I need mm-hmm. to actually do it with someone,
mm-hmm.
you know, and as far as how often, daily.
Nice. You know, how long every day?
So sometimes it's 15 minutes. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's an hour. It's a minimum right now of 15 minutes. You know, I've added in the last 6 weeks, you know, 5 to 6 hours of educating my daughter to my schedule. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's that harmony, that give and take of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not spending as much time in the car driving to appointments or visiting clients to where I could fit in 10 or 15 minutes to here or there in the car.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's more of a dedicated time. So it's usually averages around 30 minutes. And when I'm out and about and I'm able to drive, it's closer to an hour.
Let me guess. You schedule it.
Yes, I schedule it. Absolutely.
And it's funny. How did I know that?
Well, like I said, my husband looks at me, he's like, really? There's not a single, you know, white, my calendar is dark. There's no space. Like there's no, you know, it's all color.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yeah, I know. Cause I'll finish a meeting. I'll be in the car for 20 minutes. And then in my next meeting, and I'll give myself a 10 minute break.
Mm-hmm.
But that 20 minutes, I'm listening or reading or catching up on emails, whatever is in that time slot is in that time slot, and it's scheduled.
Mm, nice. So Krista, it's been really awesome talking to you today and having you on the show. I appreciate you coming here today. Before we head out, what's the best way our listeners can get a hold of you?
So I am on Facebook. I'm also mm-hmm. on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
My Facebook is my business name, Velocity Business Strategists.
Mm-hmm.
I am on LinkedIn under my name, Krista Crotty. And, you know, email is krista@vbstrategist.com.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always open to a phone call. So my phone number is 702-677-6923.
That's awesome. So if you're listening right now and you want to connect with Krista, she just gave you a few great ways to connect with her. Krista, I really appreciate you coming on the show today. Thanks so much. I seriously had a phenomenal time chatting with you.
Great. Thank you, Stacey. It was a pleasure.
Your success is important to me, and it's also important to me to make sure that these episodes are valuable to you. I would love for you to do two things right now. First, I would love if you would head over on Facebook to join our Sell Without Selling community. So hop on to Facebook and join our Sell Without Selling community. Second, I would love to chat with you, give feedback on the episodes, and find out any other topics that you're interested in to help make this more powerful, more helpful to you achieving the success that you've always dreamed of, desired, and deserve. So head over to pivotpointadvantage.com/talktostacy. That's pivotpointadvantage.com/talktostacy, all spelled out. And let's get a 15-minute call on the schedule. Always remember, choice is a powerful thing and suffering is always optional. Get out of your way so that you can get on your way, so that you can finally have your way. Thanks so much for listening. I look forward to talking with you soon.
Whether it's mastering your mindset, communication, or success, we have more ways to keep you on your journey to greatness. Be sure to visit us at pivotpointadvantage.com for exclusive online training programs, success-specific courses, and more ways to connect to Stacy directly to help you achieve the financial success you've always desired, dreamed, and deserved. That's all available on pivotpointadvantage.com.